Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs. The introduction he gives himself here by saying, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. The Proverbs. The word proverb here, it actually is, it's the same word as to rule. It's to rule, and that's literally what this word means. It's a ruling saying. It's an authoritative saying. The Proverbs are not simply just general principles. They are authoritative sayings. And like I said, it means ruling sayings. That's what it is. It's the ruling sayings of Shlomo, Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. So there's the introduction. Then he jumps right in, into the content here. Verse 5 is the main clause of all of this. It's in verse 5, the verse that we actually read in our bulletin. And a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. But verses 2, 3, 4, and even verse 6, these are all clauses. They're infinitive. They start with infinitives. Let me explain. Now, basically, in the language, you have two kinds of words. You've got nouns and you've got verbs, generally speaking. And you can have verbs that function like nouns in a way. And we call those verbals. And verbals, they can function in two different ways, like a noun. They could be like an adjective that describes, we call those participles. A verbal, that action that functions like an adjective, is a participle. And then you have a verb functioning like a noun we call infinitives. In English, we usually put two at the beginning of it. To write is my favorite thing. Write is a verb, but to write makes it an infinitive. Okay, well, here in Hebrew, we've got these infinitive phrases. To know wisdom, verse 3. Verse 2, the second part. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Verse 4. To give subtlety. And then you have verse 6. To understand a proverb. These are all infinitive phrases, and they modify verse 5. So he says in the first part, to know wisdom and instruction. Let's take a look a little bit at these words. To know something, it's to perceive with the mind and with the understanding, to know it. And you, to know what? He says wisdom. What is wisdom? That's a hard thing maybe to define. It's skill. Webster's 1828 says, for the English word wisdom means the familiar knowledge of any art or science united with readiness and dexterity in execution or performance, or in the application of the art or science to practical purposes. Basically, it means, wisdom means, Webster means that it's knowledge in action, in a sense, the application of knowledge. But wisdom, it's skill. And wisdom here in this context is the mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord is wisdom. He only thinks wise thoughts. But he says, to know wisdom and instruction. By the way, before I go through all of this, do you want that? Do you want wisdom and instruction? You want subtlety? You say, well, what is it? Well, we'll find out. Knowledge and discretion? Do you want to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings? Do you want to do that? He said, he shows you how here. He shows you how in the Proverbs. And which is pretty good to know how to do it, because the rest of the Proverbs are Proverbs that we need to understand. So he says to know wisdom and instruction. Interesting, this word may be related to the word for straightness. But it has the idea of discipline or restraint. And you can see how discipline is restraint, isn't it? You know, you have to discipline yourself to keep on your diet. That means you practice restraint from not going off your diet, right? Discipline, restraint, same idea there. This word is to keep you straight, I believe, you know, and with that focus of restraint, but to be straightened. You're to know wisdom and to know this restraint. To knowing wisdom, which is the mind of the Lord, to know, to knowing restraint, that which keeps you straight, being straightened, straighted, that's my own word, straighted. To doing that, Then he goes to the next verse. Oh, excuse me, not next verse, next line. To perceive the words of understanding. First line, to know wisdom and instruction. Second line, to perceive the words of understanding. And in Hebrew, these two lines are parallel, okay? Saying same thing or very similar things together. To perceive the words of understanding. So to perceive. Now, what's interesting here is behind that word perceive is the exact word used for understanding. One is as a verb and one is here as that noun. It's to literally cause understanding, or if you're causing understanding, you're developing understanding, perhaps you could say. And understanding comes from the idea of separating or dividing something. For instance, you see a big steam engine there, and like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. But you may not understand how it works. You have to separate in your mind all the different parts of it, and then, ah, I understand how it works. But with understanding, you separate, you divide, hence distinguishing that kind of idea. So he says, literally, to cause understanding of sayings of understanding. So you're causing to understand sayings of understanding. And what are the sayings of understanding? Do you not think that the Lord's words are sayings of understanding? I would say, yeah. The thinkings and the expressions of the Lord, those are sayings of understanding. What about the words in Scripture here? Are they understanding, words of understanding? The answer is yes. Yes, they are. And so this wisdom and being able to separate or have that understanding, he's talking about the same things here. So this is being able to distinguish or separate sayings that distinguish and separate. And here in this first verse, he's talking about to know these things, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of understanding. So, okay, that is something, a goal in which we could have. How are we going to have that? Well, we'll look at that in verse 5. Verse 3, though, he gives another one. He says, to receive instruction of wisdom. Okay, to receiving of instruction. Now, instruction is that same word we looked at before. The idea of being straightened or restraint. And so you're receiving this restraint of what? Of, it uses the word wisdom. Of wisdom. In verse 3. Now, this word wisdom is not the regular word that's used for wisdom in these other places. Shakal, I believe, is the root of this one, and it's in the causative. Shakal focuses on the results. It's like, let's see, it focuses on the application or the results of wisdom, prudence, or to direct oneself wisely, to cause wisdom's effectiveness or application. So to receive this restraint of wisdom's application. What are you talking about? This is kind of confusing. Well, if you want to know wisdom, if you want to know that which is going to keep you in the straight way, if you want to understand these words of understanding, if you are going to receive this restraint, the restraint of this prudence, the application of wisdom. If you're going to receive that restraint of the application of wisdom, and then he has this, and he says justice and judgment and equity. It's interesting, after the word wisdom, there is no conjunction and I believe that's where it would separate, because you have two lines, they're parallel here. It's understood to receive the instruction of wisdom, to receive the instruction, and to receive the instruction of justice and judgment and equity. That would be on that second line, understood there. And so justice, to receive justice. Now, this second aspect focuses on receiving. And it's not that it hasn't been given, but that the wise one is going to receive what has been given. But how is he going to receive this? How is he going to know? How is he going to understand? Well, we'll see that in just a minute. But in the second line of verse 3, he says, justice, judgment, and equity. So what are these things? What is justice? Tzaddik, same word for righteousness. And righteousness is the idea of an equal balance, something that's equal. Okay, so you have God's standard here, and then you have righteousness, which is going to be equal. It's righteous. It's just. It meets the standard. That's what righteousness is. And that which meets the criteria of God. Receive that which measures up to the criteria of God, you might say. And then you have judgment. Judgment is the regulation and also the execution of that regulation, if you understand here. It's the application of God's decisions. And so we should receive not only that righteousness, but receive God's judgments, what he has decided, what he has judged. The third thing there, he says, is receive equity. Equity. And that word is the word for uprightness. It's actually in the plural, uprightnesses. And uprightness, this is the idea of an even, level ground. It's smooth, a smooth way. It is closely kin to righteousness in the sense of being even, equal, or, as it's here, equitable. It's even, even ways. And we need to receive that which meets God's standards. Think of like Philippians 1:10. He says, prove things which are excellent. We need to receive what God has decided, not resist what God's decided. We need to receive equal ways, uprightnesses. But how? Well, we'll see that in the main clause in just a minute. Kind of going a little fast. I feel like maybe I don't want to brush through this too fast. I hope you understand what I'm saying. There's a lot here, and yet they're all together. Kind of like we've been looking at in 1 John. These aren't separate, but they're different aspects of the same thing, if you know what I mean. Here in verse 4, he says, to give subtlety to the simple. Subtlety to the simple. And the word simple here, what is the simple? It's not a derogatory term, the simple. It's not saying, oh, you're just a simple person. It's not derogatory in the sense as if you've earned that by being bad. You don't earn being simple by being bad. Like you would be, you're a fool because you do foolish things, sure. Wicked because you do wicked things. But being simple is not something you have to earn. This is the state of all people born into the world. In fact, this word is paralleled by young man in the second part of this verse. The simple and the young man. Okay, they're synonymous ideas here. And this word simple, what it means is, literally, it's an open one. They're just open. And you can just pour in whatever you want. Right? And they, if you catch their ear, they'll follow you. So that's what this word is, an open one. These are ones who are open to everything. Like it's said in places of the New Testament about being carried about with every wind of doctrine. And, you know, you think about that. Anyone ever tell you you're too narrow-minded? And maybe they were true, maybe they were right. But, you know, scripturally speaking, you and I are supposed to be narrow. Narrow in the mind of the Lord, okay? We shouldn't be just open to anything. In fact, simple ones are the open ones. God wants to narrow you in wisdom, narrow you in righteousness and truth and all of that. So that's good to be narrow-minded in the Lord. Sometimes people say, well, you don't accept all these things. You're too narrow-minded. And I say, praise the Lord, because the Lord is narrow-minded about that. We are to become narrow-minded in the Lord, or narrowed in the mind of the Lord, in righteousness, in wisdom. That's God's design. We're to be narrowed by the Lord in him. So he's giving to these simple, or to these open ones, subtlety. Subtlety, not a word we use today, but behind the word is the understanding of like ready-wittedness, readiness of mind, quickness. It actually comes from the word naked. To strip or to cast off. And in this sense, if you were to do work or run or do some kind of work, you're going to strip off some things that you might not need. I'm not going to wear this belt when I'm going through the attic or whatever it is. You take your tools off. Or I think of the term mentioned in 1 Peter 1:12, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. And if you've ever looked up that, how they gird up the loins, you're going to go do some work and you've got your big, whatever you call it, I'll call it skirt on. Even as men, they wear those big robes, that's the word. But they would take their robe and they would tie it in a fashion so it wouldn't get caught up. You're girding up your loins. And Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. And that's very similar to what this word is, this ready-wittedness. It's to kind of gird up your mind so it's ready to do some work. And that's what simple ones need. They need to think. You need to think. Don't just be, okay. But you need to think. Have a ready mind. And so it's going to give to those who are of an open mind, or who are open, a thinking mind, a mind that can correlate, can discern. And we need discernment. We need understanding. A working mind to think, and that's what it gives. So it's going to help you with all of these things. And you think, wow, kids need this, don't they? And adults do too, as well. But this is so needed, so needed. He says in the second part here of verse 4. So first is to give subtlety to the simple. Secondly, understood, to give to the young man knowledge and discretion. So it's to give to the young ones. These are similar, again, to the open ones. They have the same traits. They're young, they're open, they're simple. And what is he going to give to them? That knowledge that we talked about before, that perception of the mind and understanding. And also, then he uses that word discretion. Discretion. Interesting. Comes from the idea of to devise something. Webster's 1828 says, prudence or knowledge and prudence, prudence or knowledge and prudence, that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution, nice discernment and judgment, directed by circumspection and primarily regarding one's own conduct. To devise or to imagine, to think. Hence, in the noun form, this discretion would be, well, in a verb, it would be like to devise something, to plan something. And if you do that, if you have that, that's a purpose. It's a purpose. And you're giving to these young ones, you're giving to them purpose. And that's what they need. They need knowledge and they need purpose. Especially young people, but all of us, these open ones, they need to think. They need to have purpose. They need, this isn't natural. It's not just naturally gained. You actually have to go out and gain that from somewhere. And these here, this verse in verse 4 is referencing or focused on giving. Before it said to receive, and before it said to know, to understand. So you have the knowing and understanding, you have the receiving, you have the giving. To give subtlety. And these are there's an active sense in that, as we'll see. But how will they have this? The main clause is going to tell us how we're going to have that in verse 5. And that's where we're at now, verse 5. He says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And so there it is. We got it. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Literally, a wise one will hear. You know, if you don't hear, you have no hope to change. And every one of you, we all need to change. And if you feel like you don't need to change, the Bible labels you as a kasiel, a self-confident one, a fool, it's translated. But no, every one of us has got to change. But if you can't hear, there's no hope to change. There has to be input. See, wisdom's not sourced in me or you or anybody. It's not sourced in a person, except the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you could say, or God himself, who is Jesus. You don't find wisdom within you. There may be some influencers online that say otherwise, but you don't. If someone were to think so, they would be a kasiel, as we said, a self-confident one. He says, this wise one will hear, and that's important. But also it says, and he will increase in learning. Increase, that word increase comes from Yosef, Joseph, and his name means to add. He will add learning. If you just simply hear but don't add learning, what good would hearing do? Nothing. You deceive yourself, as James says. Oh, I hear it. I read the Bible every day. I listen to messages all the time. I read all these books. I do this. But if you don't add to learning, if it doesn't change you, then it's worthless, really. And so he says, a wise one's going to hear, and he's going to add, he's going to increase in learning. What do you have to add? Learning. This word is the same word to receive something. Literally, it would be that which is received. Learning is something that you've received. And that's interesting. And you're adding to learning. So you have learning, and then you're to add to learning. The question comes, well, when have you learned enough? I've added to learning already, so I'm all set. Those who stop seeking, the Bible teaches us, they stop finding. And those who stop adding to their learning stop understanding. And so, if we were going to have these things that he's talking about, if we're going to have that wisdom to know that restraint that's going to keep us in the straight way, if we're going to understand these words of understanding, if we're going to receive the restraint of prudence, if we're going to receive righteousness and judgment and this uprightness, this equity, if we're going to gain this ready-wittedness, and the knowledge and this purpose, then we have to. You must. A wise one will hear, and he will add to his learning. He will increase in learning. And there may be many who purport to be wise, but if they do not hear and if they do not add to learning, they are not wise by God's definition. It's like, well, he's learned enough. Now he's a wise guy. No, if you don't listen, you're not wise. Okay, second part of verse 5, he says, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So this man of understanding, literally an understanding one, wise counsels or a well-connected designs, this wise counsel, He will buy it, or he will acquire this wise counsel. I'm going to get wise counsel. And so the acquiring of counsel and the hearing and adding to learning, these are the same ideas, to acquire wise counsel and hearing and adding to learning. Same idea. A wise one and one of understanding. Same idea, okay? And it isn't just that you hear, but that you acquire wise counsels. Because if you just spend your time listening to worldly wisdom or to anything, you will not be wise or one of understanding. So you have to take both lines. It's true. You've got to hear wise counsels. And it takes humility. You can't be wise if you're proud. Maybe in some areas you might have gained some wisdom, but as a person, the scripture says, you will be a fool if you're proud. Okay, then we have verse 6. Verse 6 is the infinitive, another infinitive construct here. If you see that, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So to understand a proverb and the interpretation. So to understand, that's again causative, to cause understanding of. How do you do that? How do you cause understanding? By hearing and acquiring, we are causing to understand. When we listen and add to learning, when we acquire the wise counsels. But he says to cause understanding of a proverb. Again, a proverb is a ruling saying. These are authoritative sayings, not simply general principles. And then he has this, and the interpretation, which, looking at this word, I believe it comes from the idea of sweetness. It's something sweet, sweetness of expression, if you will. Perhaps we can see the connection between sweetness and interpretation in that when you understand it, you will receive the sweetness of it. But he says to understand a proverb and the interpretation. And so when we apply our hearts to wisdom, when we hear and we add to learning, when we buy wise counsels, it is then that we will understand. See, it reminds me, why don't the lost people understand the scriptures? Because they're lost, right? It's because they have rejected the Spirit of God. They can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they said no to the Spirit of God. They said no to what God has said. And so, if I say, I don't believe in physics, but I'm going to become an engineer, it's not going to work. I'm not going to understand being an engineer very well if I don't submit, if I don't receive the spirit of physics or whatever it is. They've rejected wisdom. They've rejected this. And so, of course, they can't understand it. No, they don't have the Spirit of God. Why don't they have it? Because they rejected Him. If they would have received the Spirit of God, well, they would be believers. To receive Him is to believe the Spirit of God. It's to believe the Lord. But the words, so in the second part there, he says, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So it's to understood, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. These words of the wise, these expressions of wise ones. By the way, where do these wise ones get their wisdom? They get it from the Lord, of course. James 1:5. And then he says, and their dark sayings. Dark sayings. What is a dark saying? We might use the word enigma. Enigma. In English, Webster's 1828 dictionary says, a dark saying in which some known thing is concealed under obscure language, an obscure question, a riddle, a question saying or painting containing a hidden meaning, which is proposed to be guessed. Okay. So it's not this dark saying, though, this enigma, it's not something that isn't known or cannot be known by anyone. But the apparent meaning is not presently understood by the person to whom it is dark to. Okay. If you will cause understanding of the words of the wise ones, and if you will understand these enigmas, these dark sayings, you must hear and add to learning. You must acquire wise counsels. God's word, you know, you think about God's word. Some of it is easy reading, we might say. It's narrative, pretty easy to read and understand. Not all of it is that way. He has some ruling sayings in there, Proverbs. He's got some dark sayings, if you will, enigmas in Scripture. And you won't understand them if you won't hear and add to learning. Well, I'm going to study that out. Well, you're not going to understand that maybe if you're rejecting something else over here. It's just like how lost people can't receive things of the Spirit of God because they're saying no to the Spirit of God. A saved individual, he might be benign in that sense because he's quenching the Spirit of God and he's not listening to the Spirit of God. How can he teach him about this when he's saying no to him? How can you receive wisdom if you're not listening? And so you have to hear and add to learning. But God's word, His word is filled with words of understanding. Now, we can know these things, but we'll have to be a wise one who will hear, not reject. We will have to acquire these wise counsels. And so He's introducing this particularly for the book of Proverbs, but it applies to all Scripture, all things, doesn't it? And God has written to us excellent things and counsels, He says. I think it's Proverbs 11. And so if He's given us these things, and if only a wise person can understand them, it's very important that we are wise ones. And I'm not here to, I don't determine what a wise one is. And you don't either. But the Lord does. And what did He say? He's one that will hear, increase in learning, a man of understanding, he'll attain unto wise counsels. Ooh, so good. So good that we would be humble and listening, always learning from the Lord, from the Lord. And so in these first six verses here, he gives the basis here. Okay, you want all these things? This is what this book's about. You want this? You need to be a wise one. And then here's lesson one. Lesson one found in verse 7. And this is another one of those things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And, if you don't fear the Lord, so many people approach the scriptures and they study hard. And yet they come away with things that we would say that's very clearly in error. How can it be? They're studying so hard. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be just my own self. I study really hard or whatever it is. This is so important. Fear in the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, and we're not going to spend time looking into the fear of the Lord today, but if you don't fear the Lord, how can you expect to know the scriptures? If you don't honor and respect the Lord, for instance, maybe the Lord's taught you something about music. And you say, I found this, the Lord has taught me about music and God's design for music. And you know what? I have learned some things. I sought the Lord and I found some things and sometimes I like to share them with other people. But I've learned that you can't share it with everybody. You can't because they won't receive it. You can have a conversation with someone who's looking, someone who wants to know. I want to please the Lord. If you find somebody that wants to please the Lord, you can talk to them about anything. They might say, I think you're wrong, but they'll listen because they want to know. They want to know the truth about dress or about whatever it is. Someone that wants to know the answer is why? Because they fear the Lord. They honor the Lord. They want to please the Lord. But if somebody is building up doctrines and somebody's just building up their own thing and they can study the scriptures and they come away with something that's way off base, that could be anybody. Why? Because they don't have wisdom, because they've rejected the fear of the Lord, perhaps. Perhaps they've become kind of a kaseel in that they've become self-confident. I know what it means. Nobody can teach me in those ideas. And so, wisdom. We went a little more technical today. I hope it's helpful to you. Let me open it up for a moment for questions. Any questions? Can't promise you I have the answer, but we can look into it. Any thoughts or questions about what we looked at? Okay. Very good. Well, let's pray together. Dear Lord, I pray and ask you to, I know that what was spoken was valuable because it's your word, and I pray that each one would receive it. I pray for wisdom for myself to communicate these things well, and I pray that each of us, as we receive and as we learn ourselves, that we'd be able to skillfully communicate that with other people, to be faithful representatives of you, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.